Hello there, good evening and welcome along to The Score on tonight's programme. We'll look ahead to all this weekend's action. There's another exciting mix of big games up ahead and we'll be joined by a number of guests who will offer their thoughts and opinion on what lies ahead. And coming up later on, we'll hear the thoughts of Con McLaughlin, the former Finn Harps captain, who is a long-time referee, of course, and the chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Soccer Referee Society. Con has been speaking to Chris Ashmore on the shortage of referees here and the issues the men in the middle have to deal with on any given Saturday or Sunday afternoon. So, busy programme lies ahead. We're going to be joined by our first guest in a moment or two. Just want to bring you some of this evening's sports headlines. Two-time European indoors medalist Mark English, well, he was forced to withdraw from this year's event in Istanbul. The Donegal man pulled out due to illness, leaving 13 Irish athletes to compete at the championships, which started this evening, in fact. And English, who was due to compete in the heats of the 800 metres, well, he says that naturally he's very disappointed not to be taking his place on the start line. So this evening we're going to throw in with Gaelic Games and I'm joined on the line by former Donegal player and Glenfinn clubman Frank McGlynn as we preview another weekend of Allianz National Football League games. Frank, great to have you on the programme. Hope all is well.
Yeah, all's good. Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman, for having me.
Not a bother. Frank, the evenings are getting that wee bit longer. I'm sure you and your club colleagues in Glenfinn are well into your preparations for the new campaign.
Yeah, a week or two done now at this stage, so it's good to see the club action, the club teams getting back out to the training pitch, and I suppose the weather's been kind enough there this past week, so hopefully that'll hold up for us to keep the pitches in action over the next couple of weeks.
It is indeed. Well, we'll look forward to the new season once it gets up and running. It won't be too long away, but first tonight we're going to look at this weekend's games, Frank, in a moment or two. But before we do that, I suppose, can I ask your thoughts on the situation here in Donegal surrounding the academy and Carol Lacey's departure from his role? You played your county football with Carol, of course, you know him well, and the academy had been a notable success under his guidance.
Yeah, definitely, I suppose, knowing Carol from our playing days together, you know, no matter what he does, he would give it 100%, and I suppose off the field and his role in the academy, he done that as well, you know, and as you said, there was great progress been made, but for one reason or another, I suppose this week with the statement from the county board, Carol's resignation has been, I suppose, reluctantly accepted. You know, it is maybe perhaps an ending point to the episode, but I suppose it's a disappointment for everyone involved. You know, it's with the progress that has been made, and you know, the coaches that were involved, and I suppose the biggest loser out of all of this is that the underage boys at under 14, 15 and 16 level, you know, who were probably involved in that academy structure pre-Christmas, and because of one thing or another, that ceased, you know. So
yeah,
I suppose it's a matter of refocusing and hopefully getting the structure up and running again to benefit those boys that have missed out over this past month or two, and I suppose get the county as a whole behind it, and I suppose it'll hopefully come through and benefit our 17s and 20s and senior team and years to come.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, Frank, it's something that had been dragging on a bit, hadn't it, over the last few weeks, but that statement now from the county board this week suggests that, you know, matters may well now move on.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose, and with that statement being released, well, it's not ideal, and I suppose with the progress that was made, it would have been the ideal world, maybe, that progress should have been continued or could have been continued, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that Carol and the academy had in place that, you know, that were working well, will be continued, you know, and that's the main thing, I suppose, that the structure and the positive work that was going on is continued no matter what structure is put in place, that we keep the things we're working, and you know, perhaps there's other things that can be improved on, but I suppose, as we all know, there's nothing perfect, but the most important thing is to get it back up and running for the benefit of the boys of the county, you know, that are interested and committed to Gaelic football.
Okay, well, that's the most important thing. Well, Armagh against Donegal then, Frank, on Saturday evening. Donegal will head to the Athletic Grounds with another point on the board after that draw with Galway, but was it a point dropped against Galway, do you think, Frank, or perhaps a point gained?
Look, it's probably a difficult one, you know, coming out of O'Donnell Park, I suppose, Donegal, when they were 2 points behind that second half and they were struggling to get scores, you know, while they had lots of chances, they'd be disappointed. I suppose they didn't take more of those chances. I suppose Donegal supporters probably left, you know, reasonably happy, you know, because at a stage there it looked as if we weren't going to get anything out of the game. And on the same token, I suppose Galway, looking back on it, I'm not so sure whether they'll be too disappointed with that point as well, because I suppose there was a lot of things they could have done better as well. So I think a point was probably a fair result. But I do think going into this weekend's game, Donegal, I think the players and management should approach it with a lot more confidence. You know, I think there was almost a sense of hope rather than any expectation heading to Letterkenny last week, you know. But I think the players, I suppose, really dug in, you know, when they did go 2 points down, you know, they really opened up and created more chances in that last 5 to 10 minutes of football than what they did in the previous period. So that alone is a huge positive for the players, you know, that when push came to shove, you know, there was players stepping up and wanted to take responsibility.
And looking at the league table then, Frank, after last weekend's games, you know, it's very interesting, isn't it? And I was listening to some pundits during the week suggesting that, you know, perhaps aside from Mayo and Roscommon, who are both sitting on 6 points after their four matches, anybody from Kerry the whole way down to Tyrone will be still looking over their shoulders, and, you know, they're not just safe just yet.
Yeah, that's it. There's three huge games of football on this weekend, I suppose, with Donegal, Armagh being up first. You know, the winners of that game is going to go to 5 points, you know, with the loser remaining on 3, and then I suppose you've Kerry and Healy Park there. If they were to get a victory, it would leave Tyrone maybe cut off at the bottom from a number of the teams, and then you have Galway Monaghan as well, is going to be an interesting one. So the loser of that is going to be, I suppose, dragged towards the bottom of the table, you know. So they're three huge games, but it always is the same case, you know, in league football, and especially in Division 1, Division 2, and those real competitive divisions, you know, and any given day a team can get the better of you. And I suppose I don't see the game of the weekend being any different. There's never much between Armagh and Donegal, and I don't expect there to be too much between the two teams again on Saturday evening.
And never an easy place to go, Frank, the Athletic Grounds?
No, it's definitely not, but, you know, it plays a narrow pitch up there, so it does, you know, it looks big, and it might be long in play, but definitely plays narrow in the crowds and on top of you, you know, so it lends itself to a great atmosphere, you know, and it normally always produces a good game of football when the two counties go head-to-head. But certainly, I suppose, I don't think any of the two teams will be approaching it with any fear. I think they'll both see it as a winnable game, and they're both similar teams in many respects, you know, with huge physicality and big men all over the pitch, and it's a great game to look forward to.
Indeed it is. And you know what, there's a fair number of good games lined up again this weekend. As you mentioned, Tyrone against Kerry is going to be some game at Healy Park, and that's on Sunday. There are three games on Saturday evening, Frank. The Armagh Donegal game throws in at 7:30. At 5:00, Derry play host to Dublin in Division 2. Now that's going to be a cracker, isn't it, as well, given the fact that both teams are sitting pretty at the top of Division 2.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose looking at the two teams, Derry have probably got to the top of the table with Dublin in a more maybe impressive style, you know, with maybe bigger winning margins. And I think Dublin are just doing enough just to get 2 points each day, but I suppose they're winning without playing, you know, without excelling or without maybe reaching their full potential at the minute. But certainly they're going to get a huge test in Celtic Park on Saturday evening, and it's an intriguing game, so it is. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how both teams approach it, you know, because I think it's going to be very tactical in those early stages. And it'll be interesting also with the venue with Celtic Park, you know, with Derry, you know, having that huge victory against Meath out in Ome Beg, you know. It'll be interesting to see does that change when they're playing in Celtic Park.
Yeah, and you know, when I was presenting this programme 2 weeks ago, Derry were due to play Meath, and Martin McHugh was our guest that night, Frank, and I remember posing the question to him that, you know, Meath were going to provide Derry with a real test, but like Derry beat Meath, and last weekend they were so convincing winners against Kildare. They're on some run, and listen, hitting form at just the right time ahead of the arrival of Dublin.
Yeah, and I suppose it's probably maybe there's an influence there of the championship structure in this year, you know, with the teams in Division 2. You know, there's huge pressure to reach the top of that Division 2, you know, to maybe safeguard against the Tailteann Cup if the provincial championships doesn't go your way with the structure this year. So I think Gary identified the league from early on. I think you can see that with, you know, with their fitness levels at the current time, you know, and even the Slochneil players from the heart that were involved in the club championship, you know, and then the Glen players were straight back into the fold as well, you know. So certainly they put a huge emphasis on the league football. So I suppose at this stage in time, they're probably a little bit ahead of some teams, you know, but it'll be interesting to see in the latter stages of the championship, you know, to see how those energy levels and fitness levels are sustained.
Okay, listen, Frank, always good to chat to you. It's great to have you on the program tonight. And listen, best wishes with your pre-season preparations with Glenfinn ahead of the new campaign, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Jimmy. Thank you. Take care.
Frank McGlynn there, and that Donegal Armagh game, as we mentioned, a 7:30 throw-in at the Athletic Grounds on Saturday evening. Oisín Kelly and Martin McHugh will have full match commentary from that game. And Saturday evening is going to be great in terms of football entertainment, because the Derry Dublin game precedes that game. It throws in at 5:00 at Derry against Dublin in Celtic Park. So we look forward to that. By the way, one other game on Saturday is Laois against Waterford. That's in Division 4. And just to mention those Division 1 games then on Sunday, Tyrone and Kerry throws in at 12:45. Galway against Monaghan again at 12:45. And Roscommon against Mayo throws in at 3:15. We're going to go for a quick break. And you're welcome back. Before I leave Gaelic games just for now, I want to mention a few fixtures as well this weekend. In the Under-20 Development League, Donegal in action on Saturday. They're away to Mayo at 1:00 on Saturday. The minor footballers are in minor league action as well this weekend. Again, they're away to Fermanagh and Devenish at 12:00 on Saturday. And our hurlers are in action in the Under-20 Cup. At 1:30 in the GAA Centre in Convoy, they host Antrim. And I was also going to mention, the Donegal hurlers, that's the senior hurlers, they're playing in their delayed McGurk Cup final. That's on this evening, throw-in at 8:00 up in Belfast. Mickey McCann's side taking on Ulster University in the decider of that pre-season competition. Well, the third round of matches in the new League of Ireland season takes place over the coming weekend. It's been an interesting opening couple of weeks as clubs settle into their stride. Although some would appear to be settling into their stride a wee bit quicker than others, former Finn Harps defender Joe Boyle has joined me in studio to look ahead to this weekend's games. Joe, it's good to have you on board. Thanks for coming in this evening.
Good evening.
So, good to be up and running again, Joe. Great for fans to get the chance to go out and watch the action again, whether that's in the Brandywell or at Finn Park.
Yeah, it's great that the league's back. And, you know, that first night in Finn Park, although it was a horrible night, what a crowd was there. And hopefully, you know, the same amount of people will come back this week now to see Finn Harps play against Bray. And, you know, when you think of Bray, everybody's memories of Finn Harps always goes back to that cup final trilogy. And hopefully this time Finn Harps will come out on top. And, you know, it's been a difficult start for them, 2 defeats. But, you know, I really do fancy their chances this week to get something positive against Bray at home.
And listen, 2 defeats. Way too early to be hitting the panic button just yet, Joe. But a home win tomorrow night would be a welcome result, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. Look at, and I think Dave Rogers has started off where you can see what he's trying to do with his players. You can see the patterns that they're looking to do. And, you know, it will take a couple of weeks for them to settle down. He's come with a brand new squad. He's come with a very, very young squad. You know, he has the experience of Keith Cowan there at the back, but it's a really, really young squad. And, you know, I think it's really important now that the people of Donegal do get behind the team and make sure that there's a big crowd there this week for the Bray match. And, you know, that's something that's going to be really, really important.
Yeah, and on that, the squad that he has brought in, Joe, and as you say, there's so many new faces in there, it is going to take a wee bit of time to settle. Somebody was asking me during the week about the setup at Harps, and, you know, what do we think about it, and I was suggesting that he's made some very good signings. There looks to be, you know, plenty of quality in there. Now it's a case of getting them to play as a team.
Yeah, and look at, you know, you hear managers talking 6 months into a season that, you know, they've a new squad and it's taken time for them to build a squad. You can see at Man United at the minute, you know, Ten Hag's come in there and it's taken him quite a while to turn them round. And, you know, this isn't the same as Man United, but, you know, it's very important that he does get that time with such a young group of players. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to keep coming with a new squad of players year on year. And again, I think it's really, really important that people are patient. And again, you know, with the inclusion of Noah Baba during the week, I think that's, for me, is a really, really good addition to the team. And knowing Noah when he was a young lad, and you know what I do know of him back then, you know, if he has any of that ability and that drive that he had back then, that's a huge addition to the team.
Yeah, he's a midfielder with plenty of... I mean, he's played at a good level, hasn't he, Joe?
Yeah, and he's quality, you know. And, you know, again, if he comes with that desire that he showed when he was a young lad, you know, I'm sure that's going to be a huge, huge addition to the squad there as well.
Yeah, so, well, that's Van Harpson. This game, one of four, taking place on Friday night. And Bray Wanderers, Joe, as you mentioned at the outset, Harps games against Bray over the years, we've enjoyed some classic spectacles. And that Bray team... one of a number of sides in the First Division who have been down there trying to get back out of the First Division. So you would suggest those clubs might be a wee bit further on than Harps at this stage in terms of their, you know, their setup and the potential for them to get promotion out of this division.
Yeah, and they've brought in Ian Ryan, you know, and Ian Ryan's an experienced manager in the league. He's been with Wexford and, you know, he's been with UCD. He was in line to get the Bowes job just before Declan Devine as well. You know, there was a lot of speculation there. And you look at some of the players that he's brought in, you know, we would be well aware of Chris Lyons from last year, you know, playing with Drogheda and that. So he's brought in a lot of really good players. Max Murphy's come in from Bohemian. So in that there, he's got a lot of experience. And again, look at somebody who's broke our hearts in Balbuffet a few times is Dean Massey with some of his free kicks. Yeah. So when you have that quality of player coming to Balbuffet, you know, that manager will be expecting big, big things. But I do feel that this is an opportunity for Harps. And again, the weather's been good this week. The pitch will be firm. Hopefully it'll be stay dry and it'll allow the team to play football, because I felt that night against Galway, not alone were they playing against Galway, were they playing against Ollie Horgan, they were also playing against the conditions.
Yeah,
and, you know, you couldn't have stacked the deck more against Fen Harps that night if you'd have tried. And I do think it's important now this week that the crowd does get behind them, and again that the team can maybe get that support that they need to get across the line and get their first 3 points of the season. And what confidence they would get in that as well, that would be huge for the team.
They're at home the following weekend again, aren't they, Joe?
That's going to be important for them, you know, that they have that opportunity, that, you know, that they can do that and they can get those 3 points, because, you know, they have Bray, then they go into Wexford, and then they've got away to Longford, and they're at home to Cove. So, you know, out of those next four matches, you know, he'll be looking to make sure they can build on that and get a run of a couple of positive results and just to build that confidence within the squad.
Okay, the other games on Friday night then, Kerry against Treaty United, Waterford playing host to Galway, perhaps the big game in the First Division this weekend, and Wexford play Athlone Town. Harps against Bray kicks off at 8 o'clock. The big game of the weekend that stands out undoubtedly is at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night, Joe, where last year's top two in the Premier Division meet with Shamrock Rovers hosting Derry City. This will be played in front of a packed house. Knowing Derry, they're not going to make it easy for their hosts, are they?
Not at all. You know, and what do you call him? When you look at the business Rory Higgins has done since he's come in, and, you know, how he's got the team playing and how he's got them to buy into what he's looking for, it's just such a pity for us here watching and wanting to be watching Finn Harps that game's on Friday night. You know, wouldn't it be great that we could have been watching that game on a Saturday evening or even this evening, where everybody in the country could get to watch, you know, two of the best teams. But again, you know, Shamrock Rovers comes into this off a sticky start, where they've had two draws. I know they would have been disappointed to give away points last week. They are down a couple of central defenders this week who'll be serving suspensions. So what an opportunity for Rory Higgins and his team now to be going to Dublin and looking to try and get something out of this match. And wouldn't it be a huge fillip for them if they could put one over Shamrock Rovers this early in the season and put a gap of maybe, what is it, could be 5 points between them now. And I know it's only early in the season, but, you know, it does put Shamrock Rovers under pressure. But knowing Stephen Bradley and his players and how they go about their business, you know, you'd have to say that you'd be very confident that, you know, they'll bounce back after their draw in Sligo and their draw in Drogheda, where they'll be looking to bounce back and put a very, very positive performance on, and, you know, put Derry to the sword as well.
And the fact that Shamrock Rovers drop points against those clubs, Joe, whatever about Sligo Rovers, I mean, we're always impressed by certainly Sligo at the showgrounds, but not picking up a win at Drogheda, would that suggest that, you know, there might not be many easy games in the Premier Division this year for any of them?
Absolutely not. You know, and, you know, Cork, when you look at the table there, Cork and Colin Healy will be disappointed, but, you know, there's very, very little in any of those matches. And, you know, when you're playing against the likes of a Drogheda or a Cork or those teams that are coming up, even Shelburne, and we seen that last year with Finn Harps, getting that first goal was so, so important. And I think maybe it might suit Shamrock Rovers playing against Derry, because there'll be more of a 50-50 match than Shamrock Rovers dominating the ball and a team being able to sit in. Derry won't do that, because that's not how they play, and you know they will be looking to go and put Shamrock Rovers under pressure and looking to play their pattern as well. So it might actually suit Shamrock Rovers this weekend not to have a team sitting back in, and you know, with a large numbers in defence. So you know, a really, really big match this weekend, and you know, really exciting that we're having a matches like this so early in the season to get people's interest. And I think, you know, to me that's a really, really big game this weekend.
And what about Bowes then, Joe? They're the team that have started perhaps the best in the Premier Division so far, away to Shelburne in another Dublin derby, and they might take advantage of the fact that Shamrock Rovers or Derry City, or perhaps both of them, will drop points this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I think Declan Devine deserves great credit, and you know, just looking at since the season ended and up to the season started, he's been going about his business quietly. He's got a couple of great signings in there. He's strengthening up things, and again, you know, it's a big, big Dublin derby this weekend, and you know, normally when you'd be looking at a Dublin derby, that would be the headline gig, but it just shows that, you know, where the league is at the minute, that Shelburne v Bowes, you know, it's in stiff competition with Shamrock Rovers and Derry, but I think that's really, really positive for the league.
The underage structure got underway last weekend as well, Joe, didn't it? The various underage matches across the League of Ireland. Are you still keeping a close eye on how things are going there?
Yeah, I'm looking this weekend where Finn Harps under 14s and 15s are playing Derry, and the under 17s are going to be playing Dundalk, and they're all at home. So, you know, busy weekend watching football this weekend. And, you know, the under 19s, I think, have a week off this week with the way that the league is designed. So, you know, it's great to see all the underage players coming back in and, you know, seeing them strides that they can, and you know, looking at the young lads now coming into the squad and getting that opportunity with the first team, I think it's really, really exciting times for Finn Harps.
Yeah, and it's proven successful, is it, Joe? I mean, the whole academy setup. It's a relatively new concept, isn't it? It's only going this last it's a few years now, but
yeah.
Do you know, back when you and I were playing, there was no such thing as
And I think it's very, very important, particularly for the young players, that they see that pathway from their schoolboy clubs. And I think that's really, really important, that the structure of the schoolboys club provide, and that pathway then for one or two from different clubs throughout the county can then come together with fellas from other clubs, and they have the opportunity to play at that level in the National League. And I think that's really, really important. And let's not forget that, you know, Finn Harps now have taken on the girls teams as well, and that's getting up and running. And you know, this weekend the National League for the ladies are starting this weekend, so you know, it's really, really good. And you know, after the week's weather we've had, it's really important to be going to the weekend, where hopefully that'll continue and you know, loads of people can get out and watch matches.
And the thing is, they're not all in Balbofe either. They, you know, they go out to
They're spread about. You know, the matches this weekend are mostly in Letterkenny and you know, on the AstroTurf, which means that the players can get the ball down and play. The ball will be really, really quick. The ball's in play all the time, and the skill level that's required of the players to play at that level, you know, that makes it so much, much better for them. And you know, it's a good product. And I think if you have the opportunity to go and watch some of the underage teams, whether it's in the boys or the girls or any of the league teams that you see, and again, looking at Derry's underage structure, Sligo's underage structure, you know, it's really, really important that people can get out, one, to support them, but two, to see the level that these young players are operating at.
And they deserve our support, don't they, Joe? Because, you know, the season starts now this weekend for the ladies, it started last weekend for the boys, but these teams have been preparing for these for weeks now, putting in huge effort, huge commitment, Joe. It's fascinating stuff, but credit to everybody involved and their families as well. You know, they may have to travel from different parts of Donegal to get them to training two or three times a week.
And like, that's, I know from being working with Harps, with Declan at the under 17 and 19s, you know, we trained in Letterkenny, we trained three times a week and had a match, whether that was in Donegal or that could have been down as far as Dublin or whatever it was. You know, The boys who had to travel the furthest were the fellas who were there first for us. And, you know, that commitment that their family showed, and, you know, to get themselves there to still do their schoolwork and to do all of that, you know, it's a great testament to the boys and to the girls and to their families. And again, that goes hand in hand with like the likes of the FEI Emerging Talent, you know, where they're working together with the clubs to make sure that that pathway is there. And again, you see this week where young Cade McGrath has played with the Irish under-15s well. So, you know, the more the opportunities they get, then hopefully the more opportunities they'll get to get caps and to move on. And you know, we're always looking for the next Shamie Coleman.
Exactly. Well, all details of those fixtures, by the way, for the various underage sides, not just Finn Harps but Derry City as well, you can find them on the various social media channels if you want to see some of the action this coming weekend. Okay, Joe, that's it. Thanks for calling in with us this evening and having a look ahead to what promises to be another fascinating weekend of action in the League of Ireland. Derry City against Shamrock Rovers. That game at the Talla Stadium on Friday night is an 8 o'clock start, and it's the same kickoff time for Harps against Bray Wanderers. I'll be at that one. We'll have live regular updates from Finn Park. For now, though, we're going to grab another quick break. To the score. Tonight's programme comes to you on a difficult week for everyone connected with football in Donegal. The passing of Kieran McGrath, a member of Letterkenny Rovers, and Liam Haughey, a former player and member of Bunnagee United, prompted great shock last evening. Indeed, Kieran was a former guest on this programme in his capacity as an administrator with the Donegal Schoolboys League. He was also a regular contributor to our weekend sports coverage, and more recently he had taken up the role of registrar with the Ulster Senior League. Well, all club activities at Letterkenny Rovers and Bunnagee United have been postponed as a mark of respect, and this weekend's Ulster Senior League games have also been called off. Kieran and Liam will be so sadly missed. Their passing will be felt most by their respective families, and to them and to their many friends, we offer our thoughts and our prayers at this sad time. Well, Gary Duffy is the manager of Buncrana Hearts, who this weekend play host to St Michael's of Tipperary in the last eight of the FAI Junior Cup. And Gary joins us on the programme via Zoom. Gary, hopefully you're through to the problem or to the programme okay. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary, I'm always afraid of my life at Zoom, but anyway, you're through there and I can hear you loud and clear. Another big game then for Buncrana, Gary. This run in the FAI Junior Cup has generated so much excitement and interest, and the big games keep on coming with St Michael's, the next cup test.
Yeah, another big game and another good buzz about the town, and it's great to be part of it. And but we'll give it a crack and see where it goes.
And they were winners back in 2019, aren't they? They're a household name in junior football here in Ireland. This team really has some pedigree.
Yeah, 2019 they won it. Yes, they're a great football giants in the junior area of Ireland. Several cap players for their country, and lots of areas. So yes, they're a big side.
Yeah. So for you as a manager, Gary, and for your players to be mixing it with the likes of Salt Hill Devon a couple of weeks ago, St Michael's this weekend, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Without a doubt, it's brilliant. Great to be involved in these games, and as I said, a couple of weeks ago, was a different buzz about the town, different buzz about the club, and the longer we go on these competitions, the more we'll mature as players, and the better we'll get. Long term in their careers, maybe junior, wherever they end up, it'll only make us a better team.
Yeah, and it can't be difficult to get the players up for games like this. I'm sure the buzz around the training and things like that, Gary, is must be really, really good to enjoy.
Yeah, without a doubt, great to be part of it, and really good buzz after the game on Sunday v Mavol, after getting ourselves into another final. So a follow on from that then, that was nice to be in a final leading into to this week's game, which was very good. Training on Wednesday night was good. Everybody had a good step about them and a good buzz, just what you're looking for as a manager.
Yeah, that Mavol game then last weekend, that was an Ulster Junior Cup semi-final, a 1-0 victory, Gary. And I know yous are a wee bit behind them in the league. You've got games in hand and things like that, but you know that certainly laid down a wee marker for the title running, let's suggest.
Yeah, look, a 1-0 victory, scrappy game. Probably Mavol had the best of it in the first half, and second half was scrappy. Probably only chance of the game, Jim McDade scored it. But look, for the running, we've got Mavol left to play once, and we've four other teams to play who are all good sides. So a lot of football left to play yet in the league.
Yeah, okay. Well, at least you can park up league matters for the time being, and look forward now to Sunday. Big crowd at Castle Park for the quarterfinal win, or for the last round victory over Salt Hill Devon. That was great to see. I'm sure those who were there for that one, they'll all be back out again this weekend, Gary, and hopefully maybe a few more along with them.
Yeah, hey, great to see. You'd be proud when you look up at the wall to see the amount of local people who are coming out to support the local side. And that's great for the lads as well. We've got probably 90% of the players. They're all local lads, came through the club from underage level right up to senior. So, look, it's something you look up with a bit of pride, and just long may it last. And, look, hopefully we get more out on Sunday to drive them on, because it means a lot to the players and myself to see so many locals down supporting us in such big games.
Yeah, and listen, Buncrana has always been a proud club, a great tradition over the years, and I can only imagine what a game like this means for your club and the committee members. Many of them, I'm sure, would have experienced the good and the not so good times at Castle Park, Gary.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, the crowd that we have there at the minute and the committee and behind the scenes would have only experienced the not so good. The older generation, I better be careful what I say, would have enjoyed the so good times with the senior league and the Buncrana Cups and stuff like that. So this generation of volunteers and players would have been more involved in the not so good. So it's great that it's turned and it's turned into the so good at the minute, and hopefully that keeps going for us, and the people behind the scenes deserve great credit for the amount of work they've done to help us along the way.
Yeah, and when a team from Donegal, whether it's the Donegal League or the Inishowen League, manages to progress to the last few rounds in the national competition, Gary, you'll find that, you know, we're all getting behind you. All the clubs and football fans in the Northwest will be watching out for you on Sunday and hoping that you do the business.
Yeah, look, we can have our battles and stuff on the pitch, and we can wind each other up and whatever it may be. And maybe we're in an Inishowen League, and obviously you come up against Donegal League teams and you have your enemies on the pitch. But when you see it, when it comes to this, lots of outsiders, Donegal League and teams in Inishowen texting you like during the week, best of luck and hope it goes well for you and what time's kickoff. And people from far away really wishing you good luck from all our clubs on that. That means a lot as well, because at the end of the day, we're all football people, and whatever local team you have left, as a football man, you thrive. You want to see them doing well and put Donegal and Inishowen on the map.
Indeed. Okay, well, what about team news then, Gary? Everybody available? Everybody putting their hand up for selection for Sunday?
Aye, look, we've everybody but one. If one of the players are struggling, it's looking like he's not going to make it. He picked up an injury against Cockhold 2 weeks ago, so he's struggling to make it. At the minute, he's not going to make it, but everybody else or not is ready to rock.
Okay, and a 1:30 start, I would imagine, with a big crowd expected, you know, supporters might be advised to get along early and get their spot and enjoy, hopefully, what will be a good game and hopefully the right result.
Aye, that's it. 1:30 start. They have a few restrictions in place for the roads and the safety and stuff like that there, yeah. So get there early and get a good spot up on that upper wall. Make sure you have a blue and white hat on you.
Okay. Okay, Gary, listen, best of luck on Sunday. We wish you all the best, and let's hope that we're going to preview an FAI Junior Cup semi-final a couple of weeks' time.
Fingers crossed, James. Fingers crossed we'll be there. It'll be a tough ask, but we'll give it our all, as we've done in the Cup so far, and see where it takes us. And thanks very much.
Thank you, Gary. It's Gary Duffy there, the manager of Buncrana Hearts. That match against St Michael's of Tipperary kicks off at 1:30 on Sunday. That's in the FAI Junior Cup quarterfinals, and Buncrana are wished all the very best ahead of that big game. One of a number of local soccer games actually taking place this weekend. The Donegal League has another busy programme of games. I'm mentioning that because there's an important game in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1, where Swilly Rovers will be crowned league champions this Sunday if they manage to beat Milford United at Swilly Park. That game, by the way, as do all the rest of them, of course, kicking off at 1:00. And I would imagine there'll be a big crowd for that local derby in Remelton. Swilly are currently 8 points clear of Milford in second spot, and there are 3 games left to play in that division. So Swilly will be crowned champions. And I would say that a draw would do them, but that all depends on how Gweedore Celtic, who are in third spot, how they get on in their match against Drumkeen with all those fixtures there. And again, check out social media if you need more information on where your local side is playing this weekend. We're going to go for another quick break.
Hello, thanks for waiting. Could you hold the line?
Yeah, no problem.
Now, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm looking to make some updates to my insurance policy.
Have you tried our online portal?
I thought it would be easier to call.
Yeah. No. You're going to have to log on to amend your policy. Thanks for calling.
No, wait. I don't know my password.
Get the feeling that your insurer doesn't want to talk to you? At Local Insurance, we understand your needs. Call today for a bespoke quote or find us online at localinsurance.ie. Local Insurance, we'll get you sorted. The Local Insurance Network DAC Trading's Local Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Local Insurance is a Tide Insurance intermediary of Acorn Brokerage Limited. Acorn Brokerage Limited, trading as Acorn Insurance, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
When you need help with natural gas or LPG appliances or pipes, don't take any chances. Stay safe and always use a registered gas installer for installation, servicing, repair or removal. Otherwise, you're putting yourself and others at risk and breaking the law. Find a registered gas installer at rgi.ie.
Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring are 25 years old. And to celebrate, we're offering up to 70% off across all tiles, wood flooring and bathware. And each week, 25 lucky customers will win their order for free. That's right, for free. Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring, up to 70% off birthday sale now on.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Recover from the toughest sessions with foam rollers and massage guns, or find your flow with the latest yoga mats and blocks in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Con McLaughlin, chairman of the Donegal branch of the Irish Soccer Referees Society. Referees often in the headlines, players give out, so easy to do so, but behind the scenes, so much going on. And the bottom line is, if we don't have referees, we don't have soccer matches. So you are an important cog in the big wheel. The situation here at Donegal at the moment, in terms of the numbers of referees, it could be better.
Oh, it could be a lot better, Chris. And the age of people refereeing as well could be better, because unfortunately we're an aging group at the minute, and there's not enough younger people coming in to take up the whistle.
So in recent years we've seen a big increase, Con, in the number of actual fixtures, especially at schoolboys, schoolgirls, underage level, and this has contributed to the shortage. Surely the number of games being played is way up.
The number of games has quadrupled over the last 10 years, I would say, Chris. And unfortunately, the number of referees hasn't, which means that on any given day, a referee may have to ref one, two, maybe three games just to get the matches played. And as you alluded there earlier, games can't be played without referees.
Going forward, what can be done? Will there be a recruitment drive? Will there be a case of putting up a few red flags and saying, hey, we need more people in?
Oh, we've already done that, and we've spoken to all the leagues in Donegal and all the clubs in Donegal, and we were trying to get a situation where each club would put somebody forward to do refereeing course. And the referees' courses couldn't be easier than they are at the minute, because they're all done online.
Which may come as a surprise to some people. And of course, Con, like areas in coaching, there is a pathway there. You can start off at a local level. You could end up doing a World Cup final.
That's exactly it, Chris. So any young person that has aspirations of going on to become a senior referee, their first step and so on is through the Donegal branch of the ASRS. And if they progress through that, then they will go on to be put onto a senior panel to do League of Ireland football. And anybody, it's anybody's guess where they could go from there.
And there is a structure there. There's fees at different levels and there's allowances for travel. And yet, you know, I suppose one of the things that puts people off, you need to probably be fairly thick-skinned, because you can be open to abuse, and unfortunately we see incidents quite common.
Well, that's one of the reasons that people don't take up refereeing. Referees, unfortunately, are the spearhead for abuse at most football games. Like, you can never keep everybody happy, and at the end of the day, we go out as professional as we can to do as good a job as we can, but some of the abuse that is hurled at referees is bordering on insanity at the minute.
Do you look at your refereeing colleagues in rugby with some envy, because they seem to command an awful lot of respect and there just doesn't seem to be the same issues?
We often talk about that. You know, for a sport which is a lot more physical than soccer, the players, just a referee could be tiny compared to some of the players, and the respect that is shown to the referees in rugby is absolutely brilliant. From both the players, the management and the supporters, I must say as well.
Mm. and it probably starts at a very young age as well, that it's instilled in rugby players. You really just don't confront the referee, you get on with it.
Well, that's the thing as well. It starts at an early age, and like we see it there at underage level and schoolboy level, that the abuse a lot of the time comes from the dugouts or from parents on the sideline. And, you know, the children then that are playing the game think that it's okay to shout at the referee as well.
And then there's other bad habits, probably coming from watching television and certain people, that, you know, maybe the odd youngster might be prone to copying a dive, trying to pull a fast one, and that's not good for the game in the long run.
They all tend to do that. We were all young at one time, and we copied somebody or other at a senior professional level. Unfortunately, as you say, there is quite a bit of diving and crying about a tackle and all the rest. It's a thing that has seemed to have gone out of the game, that people cry if they're tackled hard now.
So going forward, Con, you liaise very closely with the various leagues and the clubs, as you've mentioned. For the adult game here in the county, what sort of numbers do you really need to comfortably cover all the fixtures? How many referees do you need in the county?
Well, at the moment we have 70 referees in the county. There's only about less than half of those participate in the games, the senior games at the weekend, which means that referees, unfortunately, have to ref both Saturday League and Sunday League to comfortably cover the matches. Mm. Most referees are like myself. They took up refereeing to stay in the sport, and one game a week would be quite sufficient. That's senior football, and on top of that, sometimes we have to double up by doing schoolboy games at the weekend as well. And during the summer then there'll be midweek games and all the rest. So we could comfortably have matches for at least another 30 referees.
And as we've touched on there before, the whole growth of the ladies soccer, it looks as if that's only going to go one way. We've got the Irish women's team in the World Cup to look forward to, and one would suspect that's going to lead to an explosion of interest at grassroots level.
Yeah, well, we found that over the last 5 years that ladies' football has increased dramatically anyway, particularly at underage level. We used to have a league in the under-12s, 14s, that had maybe 7 or 8 teams in them. Now there's 14, 15, 16 teams in them. The fact that the Irish ladies qualified for the World Cup, there's always an explosion of some kind when people qualify for certain tournaments, and the interest will be unreal.
Just back to the age profile, and you touched on it, there's quite a few referees maybe in the twilight of their careers. Two questions for you. One, in terms of the fitness tests and the ability to do it, is that an issue for some of them? And the second question, you know, how young are the youngest referees coming into the league at the moment?
The fitness test, as you get older, Chris, the fitness is not what it used to be, but we do have an elite team of referees which qualify at the highest level of fitness, which cover the top leagues, and then the lower leagues are covered by the player or the referees that can only do maybe a grade 2 or a grade 3 fitness test. And you were saying about the youngest referees. We have recruited over the last number of years referees that are in their late teens or early 20s. There's only, unfortunately, a few of them that have done that. We find that most people like to carry on playing as long as they can, and we can't referee in a league that we're playing in. But players that are playing in a league can qualify as a referee and do schoolboy leagues.
And just finally, Con, it can be a tough enough gig out there, but obviously the people doing it, you have to get some enjoyment out of it, you have to get a kick out of it, and when you come off the field and maybe nobody's talking about you, sometimes that can be a very good sign.
Well, it's always a good sign at the end of a match if both sets of players come up and shake your hand. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you're walking off the field, nobody has any controversial issues with you. And I personally went into refereeing to stay involved in soccer in the county and give a bit back. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that. And while it's enjoyable, it's very sad some days when you're coming off a pitch and you're being abused by verbal abuse from supporters and players and stuff like that.
Yeah, it can be a problem, all right, but without the officials, we wouldn't have the beautiful game. Con, thanks for joining us. We wish you every success in the future.
Thanks very much, Chris.
That's the voice of Con McLaughlin there in conversation with Chris Ashmore. Well, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny has confirmed they want to add Scottish-born winger Mikey Johnston to the squad. Currently on loan at Vitória Guimarães in Portugal, the Celtic player qualifies for Ireland through his grandparents. Kenny says they hope to have Johnston registered in time for next month's games with Latvia and France. An interesting one this. Waterford say they're disappointed to have discovered an opposition analyst of a certain club filming today's training session. The Blues welcome Galway United to the RSC in the First Division on Friday night. Waterford say the person was removed and the incident will be reported to the FAI. So yeah, that game, Waterford and Galway, one of four matches on Friday night in the League of Ireland First Division. That's a 7:45 start at the RSC. Kerry against Treaty United and Wexford against Athlone Town. Those other games are kicking off at 7:45. And the Finn Harps Bray Wanderers match has an 8 o'clock start. By the way, the game on Saturday night in the First Division sees Longford Town playing host to Cove Ramblers at 7:30. And there's a full programme of games in the League of Ireland Premier Division tomorrow night, including that big one at Tallaght Stadium. Shamrock Rovers against Derry City kicks off at 8 o'clock. The Donegal Hurlers will play in the delayed McGurk Cup final. That game just about to get underway up in Belfast. It has a throw-in of 8 o'clock. Mickey McCann's side taking on Ulster University in the decider of what's a pre-season competition. And just on hurling, Kyle Hayes will be suspended for Limerick's Allianz Hurling League game away to Westmeath. He has accepted a one-game ban after his hurl made contact with the face guard of Galway's Brian Concannon last weekend. Some rugby news this evening. Forwards coach Paul O'Connell says Ireland's injury concerns should ease by the time they face Scotland next week. James Lowe, Gary Ringrose, Stuart McCluskey and Cian Healy all set out the bulk of today's open training session at the Aviva. O'Connell believes all four should be fit for the Six Nations trip to Murrayfield. Seamus Power shot a level par round of 72 on the opening day of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. The Waterford golfer is 5 shots off the joint clubhouse leaders, who are Chris Kirk and Cameron Young. Out on the course at the moment, Shane Lowry is at 1 over par. Rory McIlroy and Padraig Harrington are also taking part in this tournament, and they are sitting at 2 over par. Well, Luke McCann has qualified for tomorrow night's final of the men's 1500 metres at the European Indoor Athletics Championships. He placed 5th in his heat this evening, but his time was good enough to qualify as a fastest loser. However, Andrew Coskren missed out on qualification by just 11 hundredths of a second by placing 4th in his heat. Earlier, John Fitzsimons was 4th in his 800 metres heat and he failed to progress to the semi-finals. We mentioned earlier on the programme that Mark English was forced to withdraw from the event earlier on today due to illness. So, big disappointment there for Mark. Katie Taylor has indicated that her homecoming fight will still take place on May the 20th. Her original opponent for that date, Amanda Serrano, pulled out earlier this week due to an unspecified injury. Writing on social media this evening, Taylor says she'd welcome a fight with Chantelle Cameron at Dublin's 3 Arena. Cameron is undisputed super lightweight champion following November's win over Jessica McCaskill. Well, that's all for this evening. Thanks to all our guests for their contribution on tonight's programme. The next local sport on Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So from myself, Dermot Doherty, thanks for your company. Good evening.